Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And we are so grateful that you are with us today, whether in person or online, whether today or throughout the week. We are glad that you're here. My name is the Reverend Jacob Nault, and I'm the pastor here, and we are grateful that you braved the rain and joined us today. We have an exciting Sunday today. Barbara Page is going to be joining us officially as a member of this church, and we are really excited that her and her family are here as she makes that commitment. Just a couple of things in manner of announcements. Take a look at the announcement board for all the great things that are coming up here. And also, if you are helping out with the St. Catherine Drexel meal, that is next Sunday. So just a reminder about that as well. Any other announcements this morning? Okay. In that case, let us share the peace of Christ with one another. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
Good.
Good to see you.
Yeah, that was a nice service last week over in for Kathy.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
It was so much outside, even a lot of music, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sue.
Your music is lovely.
Good morning.
Please stand for the call to worship. There are so many distractions in our world and so many self-serving temptations. Today, as we gather, we commit to a different ambition. We come to worship and draw near to God. As divisions deepen, as conflict threatens to prevent us from seeing each other as neighbors, we come to worship and draw near to God. As war rages at home and abroad, friends, God is drawing near to us. May we feel God's presence in this time and place and worship with humility, gratitude, and joy. The opening hymn is number 461, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
Thank you.
Join me in the opening prayer. If you would like to rise, please rise. I know, it's confusing. Loving, steadfast God, the world is large and brutal. We feel like children, small and vulnerable. Hold us in your steady arms like a strong mother. Guide us like a wise father. Speak to us and raise us up as your wise, loving, gentle children. We pray in the presence and power of our brother Jesus. Amen. And be
now,
seated.
Now you may be seated. For real this time.
Oh. All right. Do I have any children here today? Come on up. Come on up. Leland, you want to come up with us? He doesn't have to. It's his choice. Come on. If he feels comfortable, he can come up later, too. Okay. Got a bunch today. Love this. Absolutely love
this. This is great.
Oh, my
God. Good morning, everybody. Good to see y'all.
Yeah. Rain brings everybody out, or what? Ah, that's cool. It's good to see. All right. Jesus cleanses the temple. That's the Sunday school story. Jesus is going to cleanse the temple. What's a temple? Anybody know what a temple is? You have an idea? Go ahead, take a guess. It's okay. Not sure now?
A cave?
Like a cave? It could
maybe,
be.
Yeah. Okay.
Cave with ancient stuff in it? Okay, that's what he said. A cave with ancient stuff in it? That's a good...
Okay.
That's a really good guess. That's a really good guess. Yeah, a temple. That's what they called... Like, this area right here, where we're all sitting in today, is called a sanctuary. All right? And a temple is kind of the same thing. All right? Our sanctuary... This is our special place where we worship God. We bless the bread and wine on communion days. That represents Jesus. We sing praises. We thank God for things. This is a place that we really worship and respect. We show a lot of respect for Jesus. We don't run around and play in here like a playground. But we worship in here, don't we? We sing in here. We pray in here. We thank God in here. Oh, all kinds. So that's what a temple is. It's like a sanctuary. It's like our sanctuary. They just called it a temple back in those days. All right. And then the other thing is cleanse. What does it mean to cleanse? Anybody know what it means to cleanse? I think some of you have some ideas. Oh, they've heard it before. One of them said they heard it before. Yeah. Well... In this case, we're not going to cleanse the temple with soap and water. Jesus didn't cleanse their temple with soap and water. I'm going to get to that in a minute with the story. I'll tell you how he cleansed it, okay? In the story, some people were using the temple to sell animals and make a whole bunch of money. And they didn't call these coins. Anybody go to Vacation Bible School? What did they call these coins? Not tokens, that was a good try though. Shekels. And why don't you grab one of these? Take one and pass to everybody sitting here. There's some behind you. Those shekels were a lot heavier. They were really heavy coins, and they were called shekels. What?
Metal.
Yeah, they were made out of metal, heavy metal. Okay, now down to me, Eva. Did everybody get one? Sure. So these shekels were really heavy, and they were making all kinds of money. These people were using the temple to sell animals and make... You didn't get one. Oh, my gosh. There you go. Thank you for speaking up. Yeah, they were selling animals. Can you believe that? They turned the temple into a marketplace, trying to make a whole bunch of money and sell animals. Do you think Jesus was happy when he saw this?
No.
No. No, Jesus was not happy at all when he saw this. In fact, it made Jesus angry. Now, that's kind of something new to us. When we think of Jesus, we think of happy and nice and pleasant, and we never think of Jesus being angry. But this time, he was. He was angry. He was so angry. Do you know what he did? He dumped over all those tables and sent these flying. Oh, my gosh, just like that. He sent the shekels flying. Okay? I should have flew them even higher, huh? But I didn't want to spend the whole children's time cleaning my mess up. All right. He turned all over the table. Oh, you're sad about that? Yeah. You would have helped clean it up? Thanks, John. All right. He cleansed the temple, meaning he took all the bad things and removed them from the temple. Okay. He said, this is God's place where we do good things. Then Jesus shared God's message of doing good things with all the people. All right. Pastor Jacob, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Absolutely. So I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For reminding us.
For reminding us.
Of what's most important.
Of what's most important.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For reminding us.
For reminding us.
That your love.
That your love.
And your commandments.
And your commandments.
Are what's most important.
Are what's most important.
Help us.
Help us.
Share your love.
Share your love.
Do what's right.
Do what's right.
And do justice.
And do justice.
Wherever we go.
Wherever we go.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you can head back with Cassie for Sunday school today, and you can keep your shekels. All right.
Thank you, Becky. All right. Now comes a fun time. So sometimes in the church, we have the opportunity to welcome new people into our community. And today, that person is Barbara Page. And Barbara Page is the mom of Julie Nickel, and she has been a faithful member in many ways already. Now we're just making it official. So this is really great. So we invite to come forward the one who wishes to affirm her baptism by uniting with us in this household of faith. So, Barb, if you want to come forward. We get by with a little help from our friends or our daughters. Friends in Christ, we are all received into the church through the sacrament of baptism. This person has found nurture and support in the midst of this family of Christ. Through prayer and study, she has been led by the Holy Spirit to affirm her baptism and to claim in our presence her covenantal relationship with Christ and the members of this church. She is here for service to Jesus Christ, using the gifts which the Holy Spirit bestows. Hear these words of Jesus. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Anyone who abides in me and I in that person is the one who bears much fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be given to you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So now it's question time, but I told you it's an open book test. I'll tell you what to say. So Barbara, do you desire to affirm your baptism into the faith and family of Jesus Christ? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you renounce the powers of evil and desire the freedom of new life in Christ? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, please say, I do.
You do?
Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciple, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, and to show love and justice and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, please say, I promise with the help of God.
I promise with the help of God.
Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow in the Christian faith and be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating Christ's presence and furthering Christ's mission in all the world? If so, please say, I promise with the help of God.
I promise with the help of God.
Let us unite with the Church in all times and places in confessing our faith in the Triune God. The congregation may rise if it's comfortable for you to do so. Friends, do you believe in God?
I believe in God.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
You may be seated. By your baptism, you were made one with us in the body of Christ, the Church. Today, we rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you to this time and place. We give thanks for every community of faith that has been your spiritual home, and we celebrate your presence in this household of faith. One more question. Barbara, do you promise to be a participant in the life and mission of this family of God's people, sharing regularly in the worship of God and enlisting in the work of this local church as it serves this community and the world? If so, please say, I promise with the help of God.
I promise with the help of God.
Let us, the members of Union Congregational Church of Waupun, express our welcome and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. We welcome you with joy in the common life of this church. We promise you our friendship and prayers as we share the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we continue to grow together and be witnesses of our risen Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of this local church, we extend to you the hand of Christian love, welcoming you into the company of this local church. Let's pray together. Almighty and ever-living God, may your hand be ever over your servants who made a commitment to this membership here today. May your Holy Spirit ever be with Barbara. So lead her in the knowledge and obedience of your word that she may serve you in this life and dwell with you and the life to come. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, Barbara, I am so excited. We are so excited to receive you officially as a member and as a remembrance of this day. Here's your membership certificate. So, congratulations, Barbara. Welcome. Thank you so much. Yeah. And we are really excited because after worship today, there will be cake to celebrate. So everyone loves cake. So.
Our scripture today is from James 3, verses 13 through 14. And then 7 and 8 of the next chapter. Are any of you wise and understanding? Show that your actions are good with a humble lifestyle that comes from wisdom. However, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, then stop bragging and living in ways that deny the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. Instead, it is from the earth, natural and demonic. Wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there is disorder in everything that is evil. What of the wisdom from above? First, it is pure, and then peaceful, gentle, obedient, filled with mercy and good actions, fair and genuine. Those who make peace sow the seeds of justice by their peaceful acts. Chapter 4. What is the source of conflict among you? What is the source of your disputes? Don't they come from your cravings that are at war in your own lives? You long for something that you don't have, so you commit murder. You are jealous for something you can't get, so you struggle and fight. You don't have because you don't ask. You ask and don't have because you ask with evil intentions, to waste it on your own cravings. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will run away from you. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Jane. My friends, will you join me in prayer? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to let you in on sort of an occupational hazard of local church ministry. I don't often do this because it feels a little bit like inside baseball, but I believe you'll find something in this as well. So sometimes when people find out that I'm a pastor, there can be a lot of baggage. For so many people, the church has not been kind to them. The church has let them down. And even some pastors have hurt them because of what they've said about who they are. And so people get really uncomfortable. Sometimes in those situations, the conversation usually goes like this. Oh, you're a pastor. That's great. Hope that works out for you. Then they walk away, you know. And then there's the other extreme where they'll say, "Oh, you're a pastor. Here, let me tell you all the difficult things that are going on in my life right now." But it's true. Lots of people bring me their hopes and fears and their anxieties about the world. And recently, lots of folks have approached me about their fears about the outcome of this upcoming presidential election. Without becoming overtly political, because that does a pastor and a congregation no good, and I would like to keep my job, I'm going to admit that when people ask me questions about this, I am truly just as overwhelmed as you are. Whether you watch CNN or Fox News or something in between, the one thing that we have in common is that most of us end up digesting some sort of partisan hysteria, whether we asked for it or not. I was streaming a show on Hulu yesterday, and I saw like the same political ad over and over and over again. I need to pay for the no-ad Hulu, I suppose. I've been seeing lots of commentary about poll numbers following the recent debate and what this means for both campaigns, and part of me just wants to turn it all off. Anybody else? Yeah? Yep, right. Yeah. And I so badly want to wake up in a world where no matter who wins this election, we can all just get along and understand one another as neighbors, knowing that all of us have the best interests of our country at heart. But that's just not reality. That's just not reality. In my 30 years of life, I have never seen this country as divided as it is right now. So many friendships and family relationships have been ruined or fractured because of our political beliefs. Now, I understand that most of you probably didn't come to church to talk about the election, so I'm not going to beat it to death, right? But I would argue that it's relevant to the scripture for today, that we have to keep scripture relevant to the actual challenges that we're actually facing if we're going to keep it relevant to our lives. So today I'm going to talk a decent amount about how we might redirect ourselves from some of that rhetoric and what the gospel of Jesus Christ invites us to do instead. So no matter what the political situation is and the cultural situation is, people are people. That means that people in biblical times were just as prone to disagreement as people in modern times are. James tells his audience that it's important to live in ways that honor God, including honesty. He says in verse 14, he says, "If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, then stop bragging and living in ways that deny the truth." In conversations in our society, we often wonder what's true and what's false and who's telling the truth and who's not. Because politicians on both sides use misleading information and even blatant lies to advance their agenda. And the oppressive Roman government was no different. But what James is alluding to here is the reminder that God's truth, God's commandments, supersede the ways of the world in these regards. The theology professor and commentator Casey Thornburg Sigmund reminds us that James's point in the text can be boiled down to this. She says, "Are you a friend of the world or a friend of God? Are you a friend of the world or a friend of God?" And she goes on to say, "In your heart, what drives the decisions you make? Envy?" James asks. "Then your wisdom is unspiritual or devilish. Selfish ambition? Then your actions betray you as a friend of the world rather than a friend of God." What Dr. Sigmund points out, which I believe is appropriate to today's world, is that we are deeply conditioned in society into putting people in boxes. If you're a Trump voter, we automatically assume that you believe certain partisan talking points to be true, in the same way that we probably make assumptions about you differently if you're a Harris voter. It would be deeply inappropriate for me to endorse a certain political candidate, but we all know it's true that the constant political advertisement and the political talking points on both sides makes us angrier and more at odds with one another. When what James reminds us is that our anger and divisions actually get us nowhere. The other piece I wanted to focus on with this was this idea of being double-minded. When they read it, members of our media team have asked me, "What the heck does it mean to be double-minded?" That's not usually something we talk about, but to me, being double-minded is about saying that we believe in God, saying that we do all the right things, when in fact our motivations are very different. Are we motivated by greed, by power, or by other worldly temptations? In our religion and our politics, we're often intertwined with one another. These things are often intertwined with one another in ways that can be unfortunate. I bet that most of us can probably think of at least one person in our lives that says that they believe in God but behaves in a way that might imply very different priorities. While keeping all of these people in mind, James uses them as a cautionary tale for us and reminds us of the importance of purifying our hearts. In other words, James reminds us to stop worrying about what other people do and focus on our own spiritual growth. So what are we supposed to do with this in a time when so much of society is divided against itself and seems to have forgotten what God's call is to us? As society is so divided, part of our job as Christians is trying to say no to conflict and abuse and dispute, and yes to seeing each other as neighbors and following Jesus. This is easier said than done, of course, but one of the things I love most about this congregation is that we can sit across the table at coffee hour from people who might believe very different things than we do, and yet have meaningful conversations about what we have in common. Regardless of our political persuasions, many of us have families that we love to talk about. Many of us have difficult challenges that we face, like health challenges, for example, that we need people's support. Sometimes we'll talk about a vacation, or if you're Rick, you'll talk about a recent bird excursion that you went on. And many of us have powerful stories about how God brought us through hard times. All of these things are ways that we can show love to our neighbor, and the kind of Christian love that that James wants us to employ. So, my friends, as we move into this week, I invite you to think about how you can demonstrate the love that God has given to all of your neighbors, not just the people who think and believe like you. There are so many people in this world who are deeply hurting and who may need the love that you can provide. So may you be reckless in your love. May you be generous in the love that God has, sharing the love that God has given you, because God draws near to you. And so God invites us all to draw near to one another. Thanks be to God. Amen. So I'm about to share a song. This is written by a friend of mine named Andrea Moran and her friend Gabe Dixon. This is called On the Side of Love. And she wrote this in the wake of the 2012 election cycle, but it might just as well have been written last year.
In the moment where the light meets night, we'll be standing side by side. It doesn't matter if you're left or right, if we're both on the side of love, on the side of love, on the side of love. Down, drag out, soul search, fight. My heart wants to be so open wide. In the moment where the light meets night, we'll be standing side by side. It doesn't matter if you're left or right, if we're both on the side of love, on the side. I am loved. Oh, I've heard it said, peace is just for dreamers, but even day and night I'll reconcile the dawn. And I believe justice is a river and mercy flows around us like a song. Oh, oh. In the moment where the light meets night, we'll be standing side by side. It doesn't matter if you're left or right, if we're both on the side of love. In the magic of the chance we share, we can take this feeling anywhere. What can happen if we only dare to stand on the side of love? Side of love. Yeah, on the side of
let us begin at a time of more intentional prayer. Let's start by taking a few moments of silence for the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Receive the prayers of our hearts, O God. Amen. So, of course, as we usually do, I will say a prayer of intercession, and if you like, I invite you to respond. Receive our prayer. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. So, of course, we offer prayers of gratitude for Barbara Page. As she officially joins us as a member, and we give thanks for the ways that we have been able to provide a safe and loving church home for her. So for Barbara and all that she will bring to our community of faith, God in your mercy. And all of the people in care facilities right now who are members of our congregation. We may not see them in person all the time, but we can surround them with our love, and we can give them phone calls, and we can share some time with them. We can send them a card. I know that they would love that. For all of those folks, God in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring today? Okay. Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow, Penny and I celebrate our 35th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. So. For Terry and Penny, and for their love, and for all of the things that they bring to their family and to this church and to the world. God, in your mercy. Anything else? Okay. I'll give you just a second to get back. Anything on Zoom?
No.
Okay. light prayer day today. Our whole lives are a prayer, really, so if something comes to you, you know what to do. Let us pray. God, in your grace and love, you bring us here from all of the places we are from. And you remind us what it's like to be in community with one another. Sometimes we will disagree. Sometimes we will have dispute and anger. And yet, you remind us of what's most important. You remind us that it's important to be on the side of love, no matter what. Because this world is so difficult, and it's so messy, and it's so full of division. We remember that you invite us to be the antidote, a balm of healing to the world. We give you thanks for Barbara and for the ways that her faith has been affirmed in this community. We give you thanks for all of those members who are part of care facilities and ask you to be with them as they go through their journey of life, whatever it may bring. We also ask that you be with us and that you help us share your love in the ways in which we can. Remembering the call to purify our hearts, to be about sharing your love rather than sharing our opinions or the divides. Be with us as we are your hands and feet and the church in the world, as we do what we can to address the very pressing issues of food insecurity, homelessness, poverty, and discrimination, and war and abuse that take place in our community, in our backyard, and abroad. We ask you to be with us as we attend to the work of building this church, helping it be beloved community for all who enter it. We ask all of these things with confidence that your Son Jesus shows the way for us and offers us the opportunity to pray together, saying the prayer that he taught us using any translation that is meaningful to our hearts and our spirits. And we pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given to this congregation, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give by placing your offering in the offering plate as it's being passed around, and you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. Please give generously as your heart and spirit invite you to give. Thank you. join me in the prayer of dedication. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all the gifts we receive from you, and pray you receive our gifts for your kingdom. May they be a blessing and a gift in our extended community and the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 569, God of Grace and God of Glory. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. Friends, may you go from this place with this good news. God draws near to you and loves you more than you can imagine. Go and draw near to one another with love and compassion. Say no to division and conflict, and say yes to God's command to love others as God loves you. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace, and let's eat some cake. Amen.